Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's much better, much, much better. It's a good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, right? Today I'm going to maybe get a little personal with some of you, and that's all right. We need to be personal once in a while. I'm going to ask you a question, or two or three, to get things going. I'd like to know how many, you don't need to raise your hands, I don't want to embarrass you, but how many of you can say truthfully that you have had nothing to worry about over the past few hours or days? Nothing has bothered you to the point where you were overly anxious, worried about something. Have you been worried about the money? Have you have enough money to make the house payment? Maybe pay the rent, whatever. Think about it. Think about things that you have been involved in the last few hours, the few days. How about the stock market? Been looking at that? Been following it and notice that the market happens to be very, what we say, volatile. One day it's up, one next day it's down, the next day it's up. It just seems to be totally confused as to where it's going. And you younger folks, are you concerned about Social Security? Is it going to be there for you when you get ready to retire in 5, 10, 15 years, whatever? Something to think about. And what about all of the shootings that we have had on our campuses and workplaces? It seems like you cannot go more than a day or two without hearing of so-and-so getting shot, knifings. It just seems that we have a rash of problems in the schools and in the workplaces. Does it concern you about your children on their way to school? Do they walk to school? You know, it's interesting. I read an article the other day on the internet that said that children, like in Japan, they go to school without any supervision. A lot of them ride the train to school. They said they'd never do that in New York City. Or London, as they mentioned, but in Japan, no problem. But it's something that I'm sure that you think about. How about walking out midnight downtown Grand Junction? Would you do it? All sorts of things that can affect our thinking, our mindful of the worries that may be out there. How about the elections? That's coming up soon. Are you really concerned or worried about if your candidate is elected or isn't elected? What's going to happen to the country? There's all sorts of problems like that going on. It seems like our whole world is in turmoil. It's just, don't know what's going to happen the next day. And finally, what about Christmas? Christmas is notoriously a very stressful time of the year. All of the parties that you're expected to go to, all of the relatives that you've got to give something to, you know, you can't let Aunt Susie go without getting her something. She doesn't want it, but it's just one of those things that's expected. So Christmas coming up is one of those times that can be very stressful. Then some people may be just a worrywart. They're just not happy unless they're worrying about something. You know, it just you just never know what's going to happen, but you're going to find something to worry about. Kind of on a more personal note, I and, of course, Bev have had a number of things in recent years that has certainly been causes for worry if we were so inclined. 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And, you know, that's something you really aren't expecting, and it can cause worry. But many folks, including, well, I don't know, it was before we came back here to Living Hope, but many people in our church and friends and relatives all prayed for a good outcome from my surgery. And praise the Lord, it turned out great, and I have been cancer-free, can I say, for 4 years now. My PSA has been near zero. So that's something great. But cancer is something that is very prevalent in our family. I don't know whether it's really something that you pass on to your kids, but it has been something that's been strong in our family. I had a brother that died in 97 due to lymphoma cancer. My mother died many years ago from ovarian cancer, and her mother died of cancer. I have a 92-year-old brother that is fighting cancer. Our oldest son has been fighting complications of prostate cancer for several years now. I think he was 51 or 52 when he first encountered it. We've got a few things in our family that really could cause worry. And I won't say that we haven't done our share of it with them, but we've managed to stay somewhat content with it, knowing that the Lord is in control. We have a 27-year-old grandson that has cystic fibrosis. And a few years ago, he would never have reached 27. But nowadays, with the treatments that they can have, he's managed to live up now until 27. And I think it's been, if it can happen, he had a fairly light case of CF. But in his, I believe, teen years, he just didn't take care of himself like he knew he should. And I think now he's starting to pay for it. The last few weeks have been pretty tough. He's spent some time in the hospital with an IV antibiotic and then time at home with it. Now he's going to have an evaluation, 4-day, I believe, or 3 or 4 day evaluation to see about the possibility of a double lung transplant. So that's not been something fun to have on our plate. Bev's sister's not doing real well. She's in a assisted living facility down in Delta. A few years ago, she had back surgery. And as we have said, if anything could go wrong with it, it did. She has been fighting the complications of that for several years now. And lastly, we have a great-grandson that has cerebral palsy. But The Lord has been good, and his mother is just wonderful Christian lady that has been taking care of him. So it, you know, it's something that they're obviously going to have to live with for many years. And I think she, at least, it isn't obvious that she's worried about him. She takes care of him, does what is necessary, and you know, that's the kind of thing that we really like to see. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Worry, as I say, it seems to be pretty common. I think most of us succumb to it at least now and then. But let me tell you, worry is not something that the Lord wants as part of our lives. In fact, if you really think about it, worry is a sin. It is sinful for us to worry. Now, that may not sound too good or set well with you, but I believe it's true. Because if you really define sin, you'll find that it's when we do something that the Lord has told us not to do, or we don't do something that the Lord has told us to do. So either way, if you don't do it, or if you do it, and the Lord has said otherwise, it's a sin. But should we engage in such behavior? As you look through the internet, you will find that worry, anxiety, can really cause a host of physical as well as emotional problems with you. I checked with WebMD, and they had a list yay long of the physical things and emotional things that can happen because of worry, excessive anxiety. A few of them I thought were interesting. Fatigue. You know, if you worry a lot, it just wears you out. You don't have the energy that you need. How about headaches? Could that be a cause of frequent headaches with you? Inability to concentrate? How about irritability? Are you grumpy because you're worrying about something? How about muscle aches? Muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy. You know, you're just always nervous, and maybe you've got too many worries on your plate and it's causing you to have nervous energy. One thing for me that is personal is that I know from experience that when you start worrying about things, your blood sugar is going to go up. Now, I've been a diabetic for 9 years, and I tell you personally, my blood sugar has gone up a bit in the last couple of weeks. I don't know why. I'm not sure what I'm worried about. Yeah. Other than, you know, standing up here and giving you folks a message is not my normal thing. Although it's interesting, just a side note, I was a Saturday morning DJ for 9 years back in the St. Louis area. And I'll tell you for sure that sitting there behind a microphone is a whole lot different than standing up here having your eyeballs staring back at me. Just, it's a little different. But I appreciate the opportunity that Pastor gave me to stand up here and give you a message, especially one that I have had on my heart for many years. I have, a while back, a few years ago, I came across a cartoon. I always read the funny papers first, That's the very first thing that must be read in the newspaper. Anyway, one of them was from Better or Worse, and let you have a look at it here. This lady, you've probably seen her, and she says that kids, honestly, you worry about them when they are living at home, and you worry about them when they aren't. And what does worry do anyway? You can't change anything or make time go faster. All you do is get tied up in knots and drive yourself crazy. Then we have to stop worrying. It leads to all kinds of things like disease and depression, and it shortens your lifespan. People worry too much, and it worries me. Are you there? Do you worry about worrying? It's an interesting thing. I have known about worry, obviously, for a long time, and I think that I used to do a lot more worrying than I do today. But good news, you don't have to worry. You just don't. It's not something that you really have to do. It's sinful, as we said a little bit ago. So let's stop worrying. And you got a good way to do that? Well, I can hear you saying, well, you know, I know that worrying is wrong, but you know, you just don't know what I've been through the last few days or weeks. I've got this, you know, on and on and on. And you know what you're really saying is that worry is something that you feel that you have to do because God just can't take care of it. You know, He takes care of our salvation. He provides for us. And yet, we just don't seem to think that He cares about maybe some of the little things. Oh, Lord, this isn't a big thing. I'll just take care of it myself. Have you ever been able to change anything because you worried about it? The Bible has a lot to say about worrying. And we'll spend less rest of the time. First service I could have gone until about a quarter after, but I'm going to try to make it a little more succinct. Anyway, the Bible has much to say about worry, fret, anxiety, and like. Psalms 37 is one of my favorite psalms. It has a lot to say about living really a content life. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your causes like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Pretty good advice coming from David. And I think it is a passage that would be good for you to do, excuse me, to learn. In the New Testament, there are two sections that I think are important for us to read and put to heart also. Jesus, in part of the Sermon on the Mount given to us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, he says, "So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, and clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put into barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and see how they grow. They don't work or make the clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he surely take care of you? You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God and above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today." Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry at all. Paul says much the same thing in what I have always had as my favorite book and chapter, Philippians 4, where Paul says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about the things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you." So there really is a solution right there for worrying. Pray about it. Tell God what you need. And then, as I have called it, the Christian's power of positive thinking is think about those things that he mentions in that last verse or two. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable. Can you worry while you're doing that? No. I don't think so. Think about things that are pure, lovely, and admirable. think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I didn't cut down as much as I had hoped. I'm too verbose. I need to take an example from my wife. She is the definition of succinct. A couple of nice words for you. Ask her a question and she says, yes. Okay, so what? Anyway, now in Philippians and Matthew, we see the most comprehensive passages on the subject of worrying and anxiety and fretting. There are a few things that you can do that will help as we go along these lines of our positive thinking. Pray about that which is causing you to worry. And focus your thoughts on things that Paul mentioned. And start being joyful. You know, he says at the beginning of that section, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. If you're rejoicing and you have joy in your heart, there won't be room for any worrying. Live by the Spirit's power. Look up Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 to 25 is walking by the Spirit. And it's a good place to see what you can do about being grumpy or sinful. You can find out how to walk in the Spirit. And then what we just read in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. In 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Stop complaining, being grumpy on the highway, road rage, etc., and work on being content in whatever situation you find yourself. I came across, something that might strike you in a good way. God has placed you where you're at this very moment for a reason. Remember that remember that and trust He is working everything out. Remember in Romans, I believe it says that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, called according to His purpose. Finally, worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Okay? Good. John 14:27. Jesus says, I leave you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the time that we've had here this morning. Thank You for Your scriptures that tell us that we don't need to worry, that You're in control of everything, and Lord, help us to follow and not have worry as part of our lives. Help us to be content in whatever situation that we're in. Let us reflect what Paul says, that he has learned to be content in every situation, whether he has lots or little. He is content. And Lord, help us to to learn that kind of contentment in our lives. And we know that if we're content, worry is going to be shoved out of the way and not part of our lives. Thank you again for the time that we've had here this morning. May what has been said will go to deep in our souls, and we will seek to honor you in all that we do and not worry about it. And know that with faith in you, you will bring all the good that we need and supply all of our needs. We commit the rest of the day to you. In Christ's name, amen. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Amen.